My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, good morning. Very, very happy to be here. I'm Kyle, that's James, and I say happy to be here, of course, because at youtube.com/ESPN1320, and twitch.tv/ESPN1320, where the chatty house resides. Our guy Johnny G said, happy that you guys didn't blow away in the wind. Yes, we have made it. We are here, stayed inside all day yesterday, as to avoid not only the wind, but to avoid things falling on me.
Oh, yeah.
No catastrophes at my house. Hopefully no catastrophes at your house. Good morning, James. How is your... because you're up in the mountains a ways.
I am a little bit up the hill, so luckily, my son decided to take my car to work yesterday, the newer car, which I don't know what, like September. He decided to take my car to work, and the portable basketball hoop decided to fall over right where the car would have been if he had not taken it to work. So
ooh,
we survived.
Dang.
We survived.
That's lucky.
Yeah, definitely lucky. It was a little chaotic this morning. I woke up, there was no power. Just as I was getting ready to run downstairs and put a generator out, pull out some extension cords for the wife, make sure that there's some cans of gas waiting there.
Sure.
Power came on. So.
Huge. Huge. Big time W for you. And that's a great way to start Super Bowl week. It is officially Super Bowl week.
Yes.
That awkward, I understand why there's the bye week between the title games and the Super Bowl. They need to build up. You get a place to put the Pro Bowl. You get the added week of build up. You let the players rest to ensure that, hey, if there's somebody who's a little nicked up, you know, they get a week off before the Super Bowl.
Taylor Swift has to win Grammys.
Taylor Swift's got Grammys to win, all that. But I'm glad that we're here now, and I'm glad that we actually get to talk about actual, like, game-related mm-hmm. stuff. The 49ers and Chiefs, if you missed it, both arrived in Las Vegas yesterday. First thing here, I think that's my favorite part of Super Bowl coverage, is this, like, rat race to be at the airport when they arrive.
Oh, yeah.
It was so funny watching people yesterday on the internet going, okay, their flight is... And the Niners put out, like, hey, we're on this flight. It gets in at this time.
Yeah.
But then you got beat writers and bloggers and podcasters all racing to get down there, and there's flights that are delayed because obviously the weather is insane. So you got flights that are delayed. You got flights that are getting rerouted. You got to get new planes. It was nuts yesterday. But the Niners and Chiefs both arrived safely. I think the airplane arrival thing is the weirdest thing that happens.
Kyle, if I were there, I would have one of those green visors.
Yeah.
And I would just be at a slot machine acting like I was a normal guy, because that might be the funnest airport to go and like hang out in. Just 100%. Because. So you're just sitting there like the whole time like, when are they coming? Like just dropping coins in a machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that's what I would
pay someone to be a photographer. Get some video, get some photos of the guys coming off.
Yeah.
And then you're out of there.
Yeah.
You have to go cover the thing.
Or you could just retweet someone. I'm just saying.
Dude, just smash our retweet button. This is what it looks like. Oh, look, the pilot held a 49er flag after he landed. Wow.
Wow. Did you see that they turned the sphere?
Oh, yeah.
Into a giant 49ers helmet?
Yeah, they did a Chiefs one. They did a 49ers one.
Yeah?
I'm already Las Vegas'd out.
Oh.
I'm already over it, dude.
Man, I've been over Vegas for a long time. You know, you can spend like 2 weeks in Europe for the same price that you can go to Vegas for a weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't, look, I'm not anti-Las Vegas. I enjoy going to Las Vegas. Get there Friday, hang out Friday night, hang out all day Saturday, leave Sunday. I'm A+. Have a great time.
Okay.
Okay. I'm Las Vegas'd out from the standpoint of all of the Las Vegas themed Super Bowl things.
Oh, yeah.
The photos of the sphere, people taking photos in front of the Las Vegas sign, all the various betting, like betting on the Super Bowl is always going to be crazy, but it feels like it's ratcheted up a lot this year because it's in Vegas. You're like, Vegas, baby, all the hangover memes.
Oh.
Pulling those back out. Yeah.
Is it possible that we survive this entire week without a player getting in trouble? Because that's always my concern with Vegas.
Oh, is it possible? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because you have two teams who have been...
That's a good point.
In this spot before, there's the experience factor of knowing, like, okay, it's time to lock in.
Yeah.
Now, Treverius Ward coming out and being like, yeah, we're going to turn up the first two nights, and then we'll get serious. Like, what? Don't love that. Don't love that.
As long as there's a team bus that's driving everyone, as long as, you know, they all, you know, not Uber, but use a cab.
Yeah.
Yeah, use a taxi service in Vegas.
Jonathan Jones of CBS reported this morning that the 49ers are already unhappy with their practice facility.
Yeah. Yes.
So you have Kyle Shanahan last week talking about game plan's going to be installed. We are ready to go. By the time we get to Vegas, we'll be ready to play a game because that week is so hectic and crazy that trying to stay on your normal schedule is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So you get everything planned and then prep as much as you can during your downtime in the week leading up. Okay. Laid out how difficult of a week it is. Making it also that they're in Las Vegas. Now, I heard that their hotel is not like on the strip. I think it's half an hour outside of the strip where they're doing all the stuff.
Oh.
But...
that makes sense. I mean, because, you know, that's, you want to get away from the hustle and bustle.
Yeah. Especially if you've got curfews and stuff. Even if, aside from just going out, have you ever tried to sleep at night in Vegas?
Oh, it's a little chaotic.
It's crazy.
Oh, no.
There's lights and music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even inside your hotel. So I get why they're staying away.
Okay.
That's probably smart. But Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports, reported that the 49ers sent, and what teams do is they send people ahead of time to scope out the practice facility, make sure that it's like up to snuff. Well, UNLV plays on turf. So the 49ers at the UNLV practice facility, where they were designated by the NFL to practice, the Chiefs are at the Raiders facility, Niners are at UNLV.
Okay.
They put down sod over the turf. Well, the sod is too soft for the 49ers' liking, I guess.
Well, that makes sense because the turf should have some bounce to it already, and then if you put sod over turf,
right?
That whole entire thing sounds crazy to me because how do you get turf to grow together and like be like stationary? It's not like they have like an 80-yard wide by 120-yard roll of sod that is one piece that they have on like... You know, the pool cover thing mm-hmm. when you're a kid, like the bubble wrap that you roll up onto, like they just roll out. That it's not like that's what they're doing.
I don't think so. I don't know 100% how the sod gets there. But dude, check this out. So, and it's not a player safety thing, okay? It passed the NFL's inspection for the standard of sod for player safety. The Niners are just like, yeah, it's just too soft for our for how we like it.
Oh.
So they have a couple options. One, they could just stay. They have a walkthrough today. They can test it out, and if they're like, yeah, it's fine, then then they can just stay. Two, they can negotiate with the NFL to practice at the Raiders facility where the Chiefs are also practicing.
Mm.
I don't see it. I don't see it happening. Not because the Raiders, like, Matt Burrows tweeted this out. Matt Burrows from The Athletic, he covers the 49ers, has for a long time, tweeted out, he was like, hey, the Raiders practice facility is huge. There's like three full-length fields. They should be able to do this fine. And it's like, bro, it has nothing to do with space.
No.
You don't want another full NFL team just sitting there while you're practicing to play against them in the biggest game of the year.
I don't even want some rando like wandering around the stands who right. may or may not have his phone or multiple phones sit. You know, that's a little sketch.
They don't even let credentialed media watch them practice.
No.
So that's the so now you'd have to like that's a logistical nightmare. So the Chiefs are there. Chiefs are going to have first dibs, right?
Yep.
Now the Chiefs can just you have to wait until they're completely cleared out to go in there and practice.
Yeah, I mean that messes with schedules. That messes with everything.
And if you're the Chiefs, what's your hurry?
Like, you know, there's a build-up thing here too. Like, right, you want to get on a schedule where you're ready. That you're even practicing building up to that mm-hmm. that 3:30 kickoff time or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you want to get sort of in the ritual of that all week long.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, man, I don't know. If I'm the Niners, I'm looking for ways to just stop with the nonsense and just play.
Their other option is to roll in new sod.
Hmm.
Which I... The money that NFL teams will spend...
I mean,
baffles me.
It's franchise changing. You win.
I can't afford to sod my backyard. And they're like, "What? We don't like this. Rip it up. We'll just get a new, like you said, 960-yard square yard thing. Here we go. Just roll it out there." Like that sounds like a unbelievable expense,
huh?
Hey, wait, 126.
That's
whatever
wild.
The math is. I don't know. A full-size football field worth of sod just going to roll it out. I'm guessing they wind up being okay with what's a UNLV.
Yeah, probably.
But it's not. It's just not a great omen that the first thing that comes out Monday morning after they arrive is, hey, they may have to change their practice field.
It kind of plays into the Niners' mystique, though, doesn't it? Like
does it?
The guys in the parking lot in San Francisco, they're not like a normal tailgate. They're all wine and cheese. You mm-hmm. know, it's kind of like, oh, you know. A little,
playing into the snobbiness?
Yeah, the snobbiness of it. Like, like they're Goldilocks. No, this isn't right. And then they'll bring in more sod. Yeah, this still isn't right.
Right.
And then finally the third sod, they'll be like, ah, oh, that's just perfect. Right. That is just right.
red and Goldilocks?
That's right.
All right. we got to hit a break. We've got a bunch of King stuff to get to as well. We'll be previewing the Super Bowl all week. We'll have different things for you throughout the week, talking 49ers, Chiefs. But the Kings aren't going anywhere. In fact, they played twice this weekend. They beat the Pacers 133-122 in Indiana, and then the next night beat Chicago 123-115. We can dive into all of this later. I don't hate that they almost smoked a 30-point lead.
I don't either.
It like, is so...
You watch it, I watch it, like...
It is so easy to blow a lead in the NBA now.
Especially...
With the way three-point shooting is and with the pace.
On the second night of a back-to-back, like, yes. And it's game six of a seven-game road trip. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of forces in play here, a lot of forces. Mm-hmm. You can blow a 30-point lead.
Yeah, and it's not good.
No.
You'd prefer to not do that.
Of course.
But it's also not like, wow, they can't even hold. Like, in the modern NBA, 30 is really more like 15.
We're on the same page
here. Keeping it a stack.
That's right.
They also didn't. They also were never like trailing. Like they didn't have to battle all the way back.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I didn't mind it. Anyways, let's talk Kings. That's coming up next. What was good? What was bad? What was ugly? We'll wrap the two games together here. We'll talk Bulls. We'll talk Pacers. Couple of Kings win. Are the Kings back? Oh boy, they might be. Plus some trade deadline stuff. All that coming up on the Insiders. We're rocking with you till noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
It's a complete crap.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
What was good? What was bad? What was ugly from a couple of Kings victories over the weekend? They beat the Pacers 133 to 122. And then on the second night of a back-to-back, they've done it again, James. They won on the second night of a back-to-back. They downed the Chicago Bulls 123 to 115. And one of the things we're going to get to here is that blown 30-point lead.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I feel like in the NBA now, you see a team up 20 in the first half, and I don't have empirical data for this. I'm just going off vibes. That game's going to be a one-possession game at some point.
Oh, it's
and that's just kind of how it always goes.
Yeah, it's either a one-possession game or it's like a 50-point game. Like, the way the NBA is going right now is totally bizarre. It's out of control. I don't know what to say. Like, the scoring is so, like, lopsided and weird and out of control that I don't know if you're a defensive-minded coach like Mike Brown is, how you walk into every game and not just, like, just want to yell and scream. Like, it has to be super frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't know. No defense was played.
Yeah. It's kind of where the league is.
Yeah.
You got 70 points and multiple 60-point games, and you got guys like Cam Thomas going for 40 whenever they want. It's a little bit of a different league, and I'm guessing there's going to be an adjustment by the NBA here at some point.
You think so?
I know people like points, and leagues are always going to gear themselves toward offense, but I think it's getting too out of hand.
Yeah, I remember Matt Harpering talking about this one time, and he said, you know, here I am, like, plugging along in my career, but I know I'm in a contract here. He's like, so I just decided to be an offensive weapon, right? And I made my money, and then the next season I went right back to who I was before.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how I actually make my money, is by being a good NBA player and me putting up 20 points or 18 points in a game wasn't going to help. That's not how we were going to be a better team. And so, yeah, he averaged 17.6 one year, and I believe he got paid after that. And then after his numbers went right back down to the, you know, the marginal player that he was.
Roger Bell talked about that on his podcast with Logan Murdoch, Real Ones.
Yeah.
And he talked about how he was like a minimum player, even though he's a contributor, really good defender, and teams knew that, and teams wanted him. But he didn't get his bag. He didn't get paid until he had an opportunity to be more of a scorer.
Oh, of course.
And I think it was in Utah. Goes out, scores a bunch, and all of a sudden he's getting real contracts.
It feels like Utah is the place to do that.
Yeah. They're in a weird spot, dude.
They're in a super weird spot because they just keep, now they're winning a little bit, and now you're in the 10th seed and you're just one game under 500, and it just feels weird, and like, what do you do? And are they playing better? Maybe.
Who's buying? We'll have who's buying and selling at the deadline coming up here in a little bit.
Yep.
De'Aaron Fox looking like MVP caliber De'Aaron Fox again was, I think, the biggest good thing that happened for the Kings over the weekend.
I loved it. It was his son Rain's first birthday.
I hadn't heard that.
You hadn't heard that? I don't know how it's possible. Well, that just must mean that you didn't like listen to the game.
Because
if someone took a shot every time baby Rain was mentioned during the broadcast, there would be a lot of deceased Kings fans this morning. I'm just saying, like, it would not have been good at all.
Rain was a popular character.
He was a popular character, Saturday and he's night. A doll. I mean, he's such a cute little dude, and you know, he's got his little ears pierced, and he's
a very good sports baby.
Yeah, he is a very good sports baby, and he's so used to it. He's so used to sitting courtside. He just chills.
Must be nice.
Yeah. So must be nice. Fox goes for 41. Man, he was good.
Yeah.
was really like good.
Look, here's we talk about this all the time with the Kings and, can they win a playoff series? Can they do this? Can they do that? What trade do they need to make? What do they need to do? Fine. All of that is on the table in valid discussions. But when De'Aaron Fox played like he did against Chicago, where he goes 41 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, he's 13 of 24 from the floor, he's 5 of 11 from 3. When he looks like that, they can win any playoff game they're in. If they get that version of De'Aaron Fox, that it frankly, the rest, everything else doesn't matter as much for me.
Well, I would agree, and I would also tell you that over the two games, he had 11 steals combined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had 5 steals against the Bulls. He had 6 steals against Indiana. If he's going to enforce his will on the game on the defensive end, the Kings can easily make the second round of the playoffs, and they might even be a little bit better than that.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I've been on the De'Aaron Fox superstar train since the postseason last year when he leveled up from where he already was. And what?
That's when you got there?
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you.
What?
Some Kings guys out here, that's when Kyle got there? Like, yeah, no. I think you're right. I think when he leveled up in the playoffs, you're like, hey, look, there he is.
Yeah. No, he was always really good. But yeah, to be a superstar, to me, you have to do it in the postseason. You have to level up your play in the postseason. And
no,
he went
totally
and did that. And then got even better this year. So that's kind of where I land. And man, if you can have the best player on the court in a playoff series, you've got a puncher's chance. When De'Aaron plays like that, he's going to be the best player on the court more often than not.
Yeah, I agree. And we're really close to that being like sort of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really close.
Yeah.
I mean, he's shown it for long stretches this season. He's had the downturn, but he's got to be able to prove that he can be that player night in and night out.
Yep.
There is one more step he takes, a logical step as far as superstar status.
What else do you have for good?
They did not get torched by T.J. McConnell or Tyrese Halliburton.
Big time.
Bravo. Sabonis continued his torrid pace. He just keeps... He's up to 31 double-doubles, and we learned over the weekend that the stat that we were putting out there that would be the record, the consecutive double-doubles. No, for some reason, they forgot Jerry Lucas, who is one of the greatest rebounders of all time. And Jerry Lucas had over two seasons, a 55-game stretch of double-doubles. And over one season, he had 45 consecutive double-doubles.
Jeez.
Whatever the stat was that we were being handed was incorrect, and it's been
lies.
Corrected.
The fake news media.
That's right.
Out here again. I have a Domantas Sabonis take marinating.
Yeah?
Yeah, it goes back to my whole he needs to shoot more threes thing.
Yeah.
And it's just a logical extension of that. I'm not ready to debut it on air yet because I need to do a little more digging.
You're working on it.
Yeah.
I'm
actually making sure that the take comes with something more founded than like, I don't know, just vibes, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So, I'm letting that I'm workshopping it as we speak.
Workshopping it. Okay, yeah. So over the weekend we also saw the reemergence of Malik Monk. He finally woke up from his slumber. So good for Malik Monk, and my goodness, he was electric in both games. Like the way that when he decides he's going to be a great player, he has an ability to just step up and be like all-star status. Like he is really good.
I want to move on because I want to talk more about this later.
Oh, okay.
I have a giant on my rundown here. I wrote a giant question mark next to this one.
Did you like write Monk in giant block letters? Monk question mark?
No, just next to your bullet point. I just put a little question mark.
All right, yeah. Cool. And then Kessler Edwards got some burn and was impactful.
About damn time.
Yeah, I mean he could be the next Colby Jones for you.
Yeah.
On the bad side, Kyle, we do have bad. Keegan Murray is struggling. 3 of the last 4 games, he scored 5 points. And then the other game, he scored 33. So they've got to figure that one out, how to get him involved. And I'm going to just say it has something to do with the fact that Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes are stepping up, and it's really difficult to have all 5 starters scoring.
Sure.
And sometimes Keegan needs to be more forceful. The team's also turned the ball over 16 times in both games, and that was a bit of concern. They got a little loose with the handle, but again, mental fatigue, I think, is there. It's set in this deep into a road trip, and sometimes you get a little sloppy with the ball.
Yeah, I think for Keegan, the next step is just consistency.
It is.
We know that, like, I think he needs to be a little better off the bounce, just creating his own shot. But that's 2, 3, 4 years down the road. For this year, what the Kings need from him this year mm-hmm. is the player we've seen when he's at his peak. You know, he's not that he's going to go for 47 a night or 33 a night or anything like that. But we've seen enough stretches where he's that stretch before he went and got 47. It was 24, 17, 15, 47, 25, 13, 21, 20. Like that's Keegan Murray they need.
Yeah.
And getting that consistency, that whatever that is, 8, 9 games, whatever that was, getting that, extending it over months, that's, I think, the step that he can take tangibly this year that I would like to see.
Okay. I think that's usually a year three thing. The ugly. You almost blew a 30-point lead.
Ah!
Meh.
I'm putting that in bad. Not ugly.
And then, Kyle, it's almost like they have a bend-don't-break mentality. It's like, we still got a lead. It's only three. It's okay. We're good. We can ramp this thing back up. We got this.
I don't like it very much. I not even from just like a stress standpoint of like, oh my God. But I would like to see this team that all year we have wondered about their competitiveness. Or not necessarily that, but wondered in games, too many games, where was the competitiveness?
Yeah.
They did not come out and look like an NBA basketball team tonight. Or look like they wanted to play basketball tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing with the quote, bend don't break thing. Like, no, you got to go step on somebody's neck.
Yeah.
Like, go. Yeah, go deliver the knockout blow. Don't
Mortal
just
Kombat.
Go, like, no, okay, this is nice. Yeah, we'll just hang out. And I'm like, God, no. Just knock him out. Put it away. All right. That's good, bad, and ugly. We'll have a Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for Friday night's game. And then let's do some buyers and sellers. Who's moving at the trade deadline? Who is not? And an intriguing name for the Kings came up in a report today on Hoops Hype. We'll tell you who next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Who's buying at the trade deadline? The NBA trade deadline, that is. Who's selling at the NBA trade deadline? Let's talk about it now. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with us. If you are watching on YouTube at youtube.com/ESPN1320, go ahead and hit that thumbs up. Subscribe while you're there. We would appreciate that immensely. It helps us with the almighty algorithm.
The algorithm of life, Kyle.
And we would appreciate that from you immensely. So go ahead and do that. And if you're listening on the radio or the free Odyssey app, and maybe you're headed to work, maybe you're heading home from work, when you get home, just throw us up on YouTube. We're right there.
All right.
You don't have to sign in or anything. You got to sign in to like and subscribe. So go ahead and do that. But if you want to watch, feel free.
All right.
ESPN 1320 TV. Also at twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We have a Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for you.
We have two.
Well, you want to do them both right now?
No.
Okay.
We'll do one now, one later.
Okay, great. Okay. So for Friday's game against the Pacers, it's our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. And remember, this is, you're entering not only to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, you're also entering to win a Kings jersey, which will be given away at the end of this month.
That's right. We already gave away one on Friday.
We sure did.
That's right.
ESPN1320.com is where you're going to go. There's a contest page front and center. Don't even have to go searching for it. It is right there at the front of the page. You click on that. You're going to enter the keyword Monk. M-O-N-K, Malik Monk is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for Friday. 23 points, 6 assists off the bench. Looked much more like sixth man of the year Malik Monk that we saw earlier in the year, not necessarily the player we saw the last couple weeks. And lo and behold, Malik Monk comes back playing like himself, and the Kings blow a team out. Mm-hmm. Shocking. Shocking how that happens. So Malik Monk is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for Friday. Code word Monk on the Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page at ESPN1320.com.
Nice.
Win the $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube and enter to win a Kings jersey.
That's right.
Courtesy of Jiffy Lube. We love them.
Right here.
Shout out. Hell yeah. James got the exclusive Insiders hoodie on with the Jiffy Lube.
I feel exclusive right now.
You look exclusive.
There it is.
Yeah. No. That was a smart move by you. Hey, real quick, before we get into the trade deadline stuff, can we do a quick exercise?
I'm here for it.
Not actual exercise. God, no.
Yeah, because I don't know if that's...
But a thought exercise.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to run through the Kings roster, and I want to know where we're at on some of these players, because 3 weeks ago this time, it was like Harrison Barnes can go. Kevin Huerter, it can go. Davion Mitchell's out of here. Everybody's available except Fox, Sabonis, and Murray. Mm-hmm. And maybe Malik Monk, depending on how you're feeling on a certain day. But everybody else is available. Well, now they've started rolling a little bit. They've won six of their last seven?
Something like that.
Yeah, four in a row, lost one. They've won six of their last seven. Harrison Barnes is looking more like Harrison Barnes. Kevin Herter's looking more like Kevin Huerter. And the Kings are looking a little bit closer to what we saw them be last year. They're now 10 games over here on February 5th. So I want to just recap where we're at with every player on the roster.
Okay.
Domantas Sabonis, same deal.
Untouchable.
Untouchable. Okay. De'Aaron Fox, same deal. Untouchable.
Untouchable.
Keegan Murray?
Not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
Nope.
Malik Monk?
This is a tough one. You need to have conversations with him now. You need to have already had the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Can they retain him? Because if they can't retain him, I know fans will be angry and like pissed at me saying this, but you should probably trade him now. If you if he's just going to go out and look for the highest, take the highest bidder, and he's going to get more than $17.4 million in starting money, and more than like the 4 year $78 million the Kings can offer him, then you can't lose an asset for nothing, and you should probably consider your options. I'm not saying trade him. What I am saying is you need to like be open minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Kings have been open-minded. Like there are teams that have called. There, you know, even Toronto. There, there are like some murmurs that Toronto tried to swap out one of the players in the deal for Malik Monk at the last minute. But
if you're the Pascal Kings, Siakam deal, you mean?
Yeah, the Pascal Siakam. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if there is a way that you improve the roster and get better today and get better for the future and take away the risk, then you at least consider it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't trade him, but I would also want to know whether or not he's going to return.
I'm in the camp that it would need to take a, I don't want to say godfather offer because I think that gets overused, but a deal very close to that.
Yeah.
Where you are getting, like you said, not only this year are you, it can't just be here in Sacramento. It has to be one of those deals that nationally people are like, oh, wow, the Kings are going for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And whether that deal is out there or not, I don't know. I would doubt it given what we've heard or not heard, frankly.
Yep.
So, yeah, not untouchable, on the table, but expensive.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, you're going to consider just about every option here. Mm-hmm. And it's because, look, you have to protect yourself. You have to do what's right for the franchise, not just what's right for one player. And I know, you know, you could say, oh, well, what will that do to Fox and all that? Well, mm-hmm. Fox already knows. Fox and Monk are close. If you don't think that they've had this conversation already, there's no way they haven't. That, you know, what is it going to take for you to stay? Like,
mm-hmm.
And the problem that Malik has too is, number one, there's not a ton of teams with cap space.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he might be viewed as a six man no matter where he goes.
Yeah.
Number three, if you do trade him and the team doesn't have cap space, he's in the same exact situation he is in Sacramento, where he's what's called an early bird, and the most you can pay him is 175% of his salary for this season as a starting salary. So, like, there are some advantages that the Kings have in this situation, but all it takes is one team to say, hey, Malik Monk, we'll give you $23 million if you want to come. Just like Michael Malone said, Bruce Brown's not going anywhere. It took one team that threw a bunch of money, and he's gone.
Yep. Man. So, let's move to Harrison Barnes. Much maligned for his perceived non-existence on the court this year, but all of a sudden, he's shooting it more often. He's being more aggressive. He's getting to the foul line. He's pulling down rebounds. He's affecting games over the last 2 weeks way more than he was at any point for the first, since October, November, December, like 4 months.
Yeah.
Where are we at with Harrison Barnes and moving him? Because for me, it now, at first it was, yeah, if you can improve even a little bit there, you just do it. But now, given how he's looked over the last couple of weeks, a week and a half, whatever it's been, it's harder to justify just saying, like, yeah, see if you can improve a little bit, even if it's lateral.
Yeah, I think a lateral improvement, though, one of the problems, Harrison will be 32 coming up. You know, there are ways you can get younger at the position. There are potential that you could get longer and more athletic at the position. So I don't think he's off the table by any stretch. I think in a perfect world, you would try to make a deal that did not include Harrison Barnes, and
right.
Harrison Barnes becomes a really, really, really valuable piece off the bench, or a really valuable piece overall.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you don't, you have to listen. And his salary at, what is it, 17, 18, 19 million mm-hmm. over the next 3 years, you have to look at that. It's your big chip. Him mm-hmm. and Herter are your bigger chips. So if you're going to go after a big player, it will have to include those
right.
guys. But
right.
there is a way that you can go after these other players that we've talked about, the Jeremy Grants and the Kyle Kuzmas in the world, where you could structure a trade where you do something like a 4-for-1 that doesn't include Harrison Barnes or Kevin Herter. There is that possibility.
Who would that be? Like Davion Mitchell?
Yeah, you can get up to
Chris Duarte.
Yeah, Chris Duarte, Davion Mitchell, Trey Lyles, and throw in a minimum scale guy, whether it's Kessler, whether it's Colby Jones, whether it's Alex Lynn. You can throw in a deal like that where you could ship them to a team like Washington for Kuzma, and the salaries would match. Mm-hmm. It would save Washington a little bit of cash.
Mm-hmm.
And give them a lot more flexibility moving forward. You'd have to give up a pick.
Sure.
And it would hurt your depth, but I don't know how much it would hurt your depth if you're going to, you know, insert that person into your starting lineup and Harrison Barnes would bump to the second unit. That kind of would be your Trey Lyles replacement. And I'm not advocating for trading Trey Lyles because, number one, he's playing really, really well right now, shooting over 50% from three over his last four games. And he's always been a player that, number one, wants to be in Sacramento, but also has played well for you and is meaningful when he is on the court. But this comes down to, if you're making a move for a big player that will help you get over the hump or get deeper into the playoffs, you got to consider everything.
I don't love how flippantly you just threw Colby Jones in there.
I mean,
if you want to box, we can box.
That's
I understand.
I understand. You can take your fan club to Washington or to Portland.
I'll go hang out with Trista out there in Washington.
Yeah, and I would even
Colby Jones together.
I would even say that they're, if you look at both of those teams, if you look at the Blazers and you look at the Wizards, they can pretty much do a 3-for-1. Both of those teams have, or 4-for-1 trade. They have roster spots that are either open or roster spots that are players that are on league minimum deals that you're okay waiving and then moving on from and then coming back to if you need to. But for right now, it just depends on what somebody wants, you know, out there on the open market.
Okay, and what about Kevin Huerter? Where are we landing on Kevin Huerter?
Kevin Huerter, I put in the same boat. You know, again, when it comes to Harrison Barnes, there's all these things that we attach to Harrison Barnes, whether it's locker room, whether it's community, whether it's just, you know, the way that he's such a leader. But with Kevin, I would say, number one, he's only 25 years old.
Yeah.
And you got him locked up for another 2 years after this year. He's a nice player to have. The Kevin Huerter that you see right now, where he's stuffing the stat sheet, where he's blocking shots and he's dishing out assists and he's grabbing rebounds, those are things that if he's going to do, it makes him extremely valuable. I'd say with Kevin, though, if his instability as a player has got to be something that weighs on you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The erratic play for longer stretches, what we saw last season, what we saw the first half of this season, what we saw in the playoffs, those are things that stick in your head if you're a GM and like, hey, I don't want to replace him, but if there's a player out there that I can, that is more stable, that is more experienced, that maybe can like solidify the position for the next couple of years, maybe give you a little bit better defense, then you'd have to consider it. But again, he's in my boat of, if you don't have to get rid of him, don't.
Yeah, and I that's kind of where he's been for a while for me, him and Barnes both. But I think the difference now is I used to be in the camp of, include him. Like, if you can just get, even if it's a lateral move, you want somebody who's a little more reliable. Like, okay, we've seen Kevin Huerter be good at times this year, but he's been bad more often than he's been good. This is before the last couple of weeks. And yeah, if you can move Kevin Huerter, you do it. But now I'm more landing where you are in avoiding putting them in deals if possible. And that's, I think, probably going to wind up leading to some inactivity at the deadline.
Okay.
Just because I don't know how appealing Chris Duarte, Trey Lyles, and Davion Mitchell are in a deal to people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that and Kyle, there's something really interesting here that I'll hit really quick. I don't want to confuse people all that much. But look, as of right now, the Kings have given up their 2024 first-round pick in the Kevin Huerter deal, right? It's lottery protected. It could go in 25. It could go in 26. If it makes it to 27, it dissolves into 2 second-round picks. So as of today, technically speaking, the Kings can't trade a first-round pick until 2028, right? So follow me here. The Stepien rule is complicated, but it means that you can't trade back-to-back picks in advance, not back-to-back picks. So if the Kings do make the playoffs this year and their first round pick is relayed to the Atlanta Hawks, it resets the moment the draft is over and we start a new season. So when we get to basically July 1st of 2024, that's actually the 24-25 season.
Okay.
And so by league rule, you can't trade more than 7 years out of picks, right? So as of today, the Kings can trade 20, well, in theory, you can trade 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30. The day you get to July 1st, the Kings slate is now clean. They can trade up to 7 years out, which is now 2031, mm-hmm. and they can trade up to 4 first-round picks. 25 becomes available. You can't trade it in advance.
Right.
But now 25 is available starting on July 1st, 25, 26, 27, all the way to 31.
Okay.
But then every 2 years. So you can trade 25, 27, 29, and 31, and then you can do pick swaps in between.
Is this all to say that they're more likely to make a move this offseason?
It's to say that they will have more power this offseason as long as they make the playoffs this year. If they don't make the playoffs, now that pick carries over to 2025, and now we're right back in the same situation. You can't trade 25, you can't trade 26, you can't trade 27, you can trade 28, you can trade 30, but not 31.
Boy, they really need to make the playoffs.
Yeah. So that's the tightrope that you're walking, right?
Yeah.
You're walking this tightrope of we have to make the playoffs in order mm-hmm. to relay the pick, but also like in order, and just so people know, the 2024 draft is not considered great at all.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta is not going to want to take this pick just and say, okay, we'll take it. Because if somehow you don't make the playoffs this year, that means that something bad happened and there's potential for you to not make the playoffs the next year and the year after.
Mm-hmm.
Like Atlanta's going to be like, oh, no, we're all right, like figuring this out. Like we'll wait and see how bad you get. Before we take that, we just accept a pick. So they may hold out, and you may not be able to like move that pick and try to secure something for the future.
Wait, what do you mean they? I don't want to hang on this too long, but
if the Kings don't make the playoffs this year, right? If the Kings don't make, then the pick doesn't relay,
right? Because it's lottery protected.
Yeah. So the next year, I think it goes to top 12. But Atlanta's going to want to watch and see how this plays out. They don't want a 2024 because the 2024 draft isn't very good. They'd be like, all right, maybe 25 we get the pick, and we can see if the Kings start getting worse and worse because eventually you're going to get to a point where it's only top 10 protected.
So they can choose not to let the pick convey?
Well, no, the pick doesn't convey if it's because it's lottery protected.
Right, but okay, I'm sorry. I'm hung up on the Hawks. The way you're explaining this makes it sound like...
The Kings as of right now could go to the Hawks and say, hey, we'll give you a second round pick to pull the protections and you just take our 2024.
Okay, I see. Got it.
No, okay. But the Hawks are going to want to see how this thing plays out.
Got it.
They would much rather, even if it's waiting 2 years, 3 years to get the pick,
right.
They'd rather like wait and see what happens with the Kings.
Right. Try and see if you can get it to be top five.
Yeah. And it's a gamble.
Okay.
It's a gamble for sure. But
okay.
Yeah.
Glad we landed there. All right. Let's talk about the trade market because.
Yeah.
If you're going to walk into the trade market with Trey Lyles and Chris Duarte, Davion Mitchell and a minimum guy.
Okay.
We'll say Kessler Edwards because trading Colby Jones is not a thing I'm doing.
You can't even say the words.
I can't.
Yeah.
You know what? Hang on. You know who can speak for me here?
It's a complete crap.
Yeah, damn right it is.
That's right.
So you're going to so you're walking into the trade market with those three guys. And a minimum salary player.
Okay.
Saying like, hey, let's try and make some deals happen.
There's other, I mean, we could throw Sasha Vezenkov in that as well. Like, sure. I don't know that the Kings would trade Sasha, but again, a $6 million trade, $6.5 million trade chip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's out of the rotation right now. But anyway, go ahead.
So what does that look like? Who are they competing with? So in the West,
yep.
You have OKC. Are you buying that OKC is going to make a move?
No.
Yeah, I'm not either. I think it's a year too early.
Yeah, I mean, their organic growth has been spectacular. Yeah.
But at some point, they have so many picks, they're going to have to start getting rid of them.
Well, we say that, but then they don't, and then they have to waive players who are first-round picks because they didn't. But anyway, yeah, it's a very interesting situation. But again, remember that not all those picks are gold, and especially if they're good,
yeah,
those picks aren't gold. If they were to trade those picks 2 years ago, those picks were gold because OKC wasn't very good. Where they are now, those picks really might not be valuable at all.
Yeah, and I don't even know. I know they have so many other teams' picks, and I don't know exactly what it looks like. Didn't they have 7 first-round picks in the next 2 drafts?
Oh, no, they got way more than that. Way, way, way more. And like on top of that, Kyle, you have to remember that, again, a bunch of their picks are 2024 picks, which no one really is clamoring for at this moment.
The podcast I was listening to earlier today said essentially a 2024 pick is like not having one.
Yeah.
Dang. That's crazy. Yeah.
That's why you want to make the playoffs. Go ahead and give that thing away.
Oh my God.
Yeah. 14 first round picks. There we go. For OKC from Sekiren to Bagley.
In the next 2 drafts?
No, not 2 drafts, but the next couple of drafts. Yeah. Yeah.
Not the next 2, but the next couple.
But that might be the, the next few. There we go. Yeah. they've got a lot of picks, but they do need to figure out how to improve their roster like everybody else. They're still a piece or two away.
Yeah, they are for sure. The growth has been nice for them as a team, but they're definitely still a piece or two away. What about Minnesota, the other team atop the West?
I don't think Minnesota's they're standing pat. Yeah, I don't think that they're making a move.
If they do, I think it'll be a fringe one.
They might like a six man or something. Guy. Yeah, yeah. They might look for a shooter, for a scorer off the bench. But outside of that, I'm not sure they're going too deep.
Yeah, I don't even know what they have to trade after the Rudy Gobert thing.
Yeah, it's a little complicated.
What about New Orleans?
Yeah, I think New Orleans is kind of in the same boat. They would love a major improvement at center, but I don't think that they can get that. I don't think there is a major improvement that's just sitting there. If Jared Allen becomes available, sure, they would go all in. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I don't think that there is a major piece. But they do tend to make minor moves every year. They are a team that's active. So,
and I feel like every time they make a minor move, that person does something in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're always like, oh, in a game. I like that move. That's normally that's what happens. They're doing good things there. They've built a really strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David Griffin, right?
Yeah.
He's still there?
Yeah.
Man. Doing a really nice job. And then the Clippers, I don't know if the Clippers have that many, or if they'd want to even make a move.
Yeah, I think the Clippers are rolling right now. They're rolling, but they're also a team that's still trying to figure out what they have, like if this is going to work long term. And then also, I'd say maybe what they have PJ Tucker hiding, right? So maybe that's something where they move off of somebody that's not playing a ton. But I haven't looked to see at that situation for a while.
I'd love PJ Tucker and Sac.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm all in on that idea.
Yeah, I just think...
I know he's old as hell, but...
Yeah, that's one of the problems. Like
that's fine.
He is... and he's only played in 12 games all season, 14.4 minutes on the season. And he's 38. Like, that's tough.
That's fine. LeBron's 39.
Okay. There it is. It's science.
Yeah, no, I would love PJ Tucker in Sacramento. If you can go get him for like a second-round pick.
No, totally.
I'd do that so
fast. Yeah, I would at least listen.
In the East, I don't know if Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, the Cavs, if anything, might move off of somebody.
Yeah, but that's a big if.
They've been better lately.
They're so confused with what's going to happen with Donovan. And, you know, I would see them like trying to convince and to convince a player to stay, you got to continue to be good.
Let's talk buyers real quick in the West.
Yep.
The Kings, probably.
Yep.
The Mavs have to be.
They have to be.
If they want to be serious, there's just no way you can move forward with that roster.
It's really a two-man roster.
Yeah.
It's really awkward.
With Tim Hardaway Jr. sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yep. It's not good enough. The Lakers?
Yeah. I don't, especially Jared Vanderbilt's out long-term. That's tough.
The whole LeBron James trade thing that came out from that reporter at KTLA.
Yeah, that's weird.
But then the fact that Clutch came out and talked to Brian Windhorst at ESPN, and had Windhorst out there like, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's kind of crazy.
It's wild.
It'd be the right thing for the Lakers to do if we're keeping it a buck.
Yeah. I would agree.
He's still very, very good. And not like, oh, he's washed now, just get rid of him.
Well, Kyle, you do know that they have 2 All-Stars.
That's a good point. You want to keep that All-Star pairing together.
That's right.
No, I would, dude, but just if they had done that, it would have been like, whoa, you can't trade LeBron James. Like just for your fan base and as a brand, trading LeBron James would be nuts, right? But strip the history and all that from it. That is a 39-year-old player who is still extremely valuable in the trade market, and you can go build for your future. That's a 39-year-old who's not under contract for next season, by the way.
Yeah.
Who you can build for your future and get this massive haul for him in a year where you're probably not going to, even if you make the playoffs, probably not going to make a lot of noise.
Yep. No, I'm with you.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
You can't do it, but it makes sense. Let's pick this conversation up when we get back. We got to hit a quick break. We'll have more NBA trade deadline for you, and we'll continue our Super Bowl coverage as well. The 49ers say they're going to turn up their first couple days in Vegas. And then we got a Brock Purdy question for you, since we haven't had enough of those this year.
Ooh.
All that's coming up next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.